Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
It is indeed Viewpoint's live and lively discussion program with a panel of invited guests. Joining me in the studio today, Nathan Thomas and Roslyn Scott-Gibb. 952-784-000, the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe, officially, should you wish to leave a post. And we are on Twitter as TRE. Talk is good. We will move away from all things having a bash at Russia or looking at the situation with Russia. And looking at how our relationship with Facebook and social media is about to change, we think, because the papers today are full of fresh claims against the data firm Cambridge Analytica. Data firm's executives caught boasting of dirty tricks to swing elections is on the front page of The Guardian. The Observer, this Guardian sister paper, broke that story over the weekend. Also, there are more stories of that on the front pages. Facebook takes a $35 billion battering as backlash rises over data harvest claims. Reportedly, data on 50 million users was used by Cambridge Analytica to help the campaign, Trump's campaign in the States. The data was reportedly to be used for academic research, but it was supposed to be erased, but somehow it seems to be used in analyzing voters for the campaign. Should Facebook be held for libel? It brings into question our whole, and I'd like to get your calls on this one as well, listener. 952-784-000. It brings into sharp focus our relationship with Facebook, which has been with us now for over a decade. I've got my congratulations. You've been using Facebook for more than 10 years over the beginning of this year. Believe it or not, doesn't time fly when you're liking somebody's posts? But it's always been seen, perhaps Facebook's always been seen as almost like a hobby. I mean, an all-invasive hobby, if you like. And it's given spawn to the Instagram, the selfie, the tweeting, the constant social media posts. But it's always been seen as perhaps up to now mainly an activity that is benign, that is you know, bringing people together, making up with long-lost friends, you know, tracking down, sharing photographs. This whole survey, this whole Cambridge Analytica backlash and the scandal seems to have put our relationship with Facebook under the microscope, and we're not liking what we're seeing. Nathan.
Definitely, and it is not the first time that this sort of thing has come up with Facebook or Twitter or any of those social media platforms. And I think this is the basic question that we are dealing with: is it a platform, as they claim to be? Is it just a medium to allow people to do something, or is it a publisher and that has and must have editorial control over what goes up on the site? And this is something that is becoming a bigger and bigger controversy. And the question is, or what is happening? We are getting closer and closer to regulation, I think, of that will force these social media companies to become editorial entities. And I think that is, if that happens, it's going to change the face of social media as we see it. I mean, it's the sort of thing, if you go back into history with newspapers, the idea of having a newspaper that went out and gave news and information to as many people as you could goes way, way back to where you were practically handwriting the newspapers and passing them out. The printing press and so on that became a platform for mass distribution of this was always secondary to the idea that we are an editorial newspaper or we're a broadcasting facility. The platform and the technology that's developed over the years has simply been an addition to that, but the primary was always the editorial control over what it is. It is our newspaper, or it is our television station or radio station or whatever it was. What's happened now, I think, with all of this social media is that the technology happened first, and the ability of the net of the internet to be able to do this happened, and the technology was there, and then people developed platforms that were simply technologically based that allowed people to do things, but they had no desire to have an editorial control over it. And so they were just a platform that allowed you to talk to your friends and your friends, and you could send a tweet that if you had enough people following you, you could send it to millions instantly. And as you said, it was a fairly innocent time, and nobody seemed to be misusing it. Now we are in a point where we are realizing that there are people out there who are misusing it. The question is, what do we do? Do we regulate and do we force these people who are really technology people, who built Facebook, who built Twitter, who built all of these platforms, to now become editorial control? And if we do that, I think it's going to change the face of what we see, because what they are going to have to do is take control in a way, or they will be fined, or they will be sanctioned, or they will be punished by various governments, by various laws that are getting closer and closer to being put in place. And when they are threatened with that, because everybody says, oh, they have lots of money, so you know they can just handle this. Well, what happens when they are threatened with being sanctioned one way or another, usually with fines or whatever, for not controlling what is on their platform? They are going to put in controls. And it's going to be as happened with the airline industry. You used to just be able to get on a plane and go, and it was no big deal. Now, because there has had to be control, not by the airlines so much, but by governments, but safety people, whoever they are working for, you now have to go to the airport 3 hours earlier because, yes, we have more security, but that takes time. And I think what's going to happen, to finish up, you know, this diatribe, the social media networks are going to be forced into, instead of you sending a tweet that goes to the internet immediately, you're going to have to send it to Google or Facebook or Twitter. They are going to have to then approve it editorially that this is a proper thing to put out on our site. And what that's going to mean is the tweet that you send this morning will get there about Thursday.
Indeed. Rosalind.
Well, I thought they already did start controlling it about 6 or 8 months ago. They announced they'd hired an additional 30,000 sort of editors and to sort of clean it up. But just recently, even in the last 3 months, I noticed a lot more misinformation on, a lot of really bad political stuff, really negative things about various political people. So I'm not sure that's a bad thing, that they can't just clean it up without sort of taking all the fun out of it.
Well, the thing is, I mean, if you could say they're going to clean it up, then basically your social media platform, be it Twitter, be it Instagram, be it Snapchat, be it Facebook, then becomes, if you like, a news desk bureau. And therefore, you're going to need people who... And there are two things that spring to mind here. One is, as Nathan said, is the time. Because the thing about Twitter is it's direct. When there is a major disaster somewhere in the world, everybody's on Twitter saying, get to this place, do that. I'm looking for my friends here. Can you help? And it's been seen to be a sign of good. And the immediacy of that, and reporting live about something going on when tanks are rolling in. Imagine if there'd been Twitter in Tiananmen Square, for example, and China had allowed that the Twitter tweets would come out. And the two is the editorial policy. Because who sets the editorial policy of a social media? With a newspaper, with a BBC, with that media, then certain newspapers, you know, the Guardian is going to go more to the left. This is talking about UK papers. You know that perhaps the Mail is centre right, stroke whatever. But you know of the editorial preconceived editorial policy of that particular paper. With something that's supposed to be as neutral as a social media platform, it'd be like picking up having your phone provider say, "Well, I'm not actually quite sure of that. We're liking what we're hearing on your phone, therefore we're going to judge whether that conversation is okay, and you might be able to speak to that person in another 3 weeks.
I think the extreme, like pornography, there used to be, you know, like I'd have some woman come out and I'd be looking at her bottom, you know. I mean, I don't want that. Or when it's downright political lies, political misinformation, but yeah. Lies, not facts, lies. Now, if you just cream off that extreme stuff, that would be a beginning. And I think that's what they're doing, or that's what they're attempting to do it already.
That's what they're trying to do. But the basic problem is it either goes one or two ways. It goes as it is now, which is the sender, whoever it is, who may be totally innocent or may be trying to do something nefarious, as we are now beginning to believe that Cambridge Analytical was doing. It goes immediately from them to the general public. And the change that is going to have to be made is that is going to have to stop. It is going to have to go first to Twitter, Facebook, whoever, and be decided on whether this is acceptable or not. Because, again, they can't stop it now until after it happens. Everybody sees it, and then they see it at the same time. And it is for them to say, oh, this is horrible, we'll take this down. But by that time, millions of people could have seen it, downloaded it, repeated it, retweeted it. So the only way to solve the problem is it has to be edited first, as a newspaper is. But a newspaper editor or a broadcast editor or whatever does not have an infinite number of inputs of stuff coming in that they have to deal with. They assign reporters, and here's a story. Okay, we look at it. Yes, we do that. And you can have a balance of having enough people to do that in a timely fashion for whatever you're doing. With this, the ability to have enough people, and 30,000 people, if you're talking about, and this is a different company, but with Twitter, if you're talking about people analyzing, I don't know how many billion tweets there are a day, how many people do you think that's going to take?
Indeed, the physical manpower. We're going to go live to the lines. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Good morning, caller. Thank you for holding. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Did I hear Nathan say earlier about control of the media? I think he's very anti that in the previous conversations we've had. But anyone seen House of Cards?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, well, this is exactly what happened in House of Cards, isn't it, with the analysing of the social media. This is how they done it in House of Cards. There's a thing called Operation Mockingbird, which is how the governments get Hollywood to make the stuff that they want to put out. So, I mean, we've sleptwalked right into this. Anyone who's used social media, I don't. Anyone who used social media, you can see this has been coming for a long, long time. The control of media, social media, it's all about control from a government. It's all they're heading for this one world government. That's what they want, and that's what they're looking for, and controlling the people. And for all these people to think there's some sort of conspiracy, it's not a conspiracy. It's happening. Going back to what you were talking about, Russia, everything you've discussed today, talk about Facebook. The COO of Facebook is Sheryl Sandberg. I don't know if you've come across her at any time. But in America, since Obama, back in 1978, they started bringing in people from business into government. America was on its knees. They wanted to make America great again and make it more competitive around the world. And they started bringing in these elites of the business world. It was supposed to be a good idea, but over the years it's been manipulated. And then since Obama came in, of the 8,000, Nathan, have you heard of the SES?
What is SES?
The Senior Executive Service.
Not specifically, no.
Well, I suggest...
I have.
You have, yeah. Well, I'm surprised you have, Osmond, because you're very mainstream media. But anyway, the SES, they control the American government. And since Obama came in, there's 8,000 odd of them, and 70% of them is his picks. Now, when you look at the American government, as you said about Mueller just now, Rosalind, all these people have been picked, hand-picked. And they're mostly, look at James Comey. He was a lawyer for HSBC, right? These are not politicians. They're not career politicians. They're people being handpicked. And they run up every department, whether it's the DOJ, all of them, every one of them, right? It's an elite, deep state. Now, Sheryl Sandberg is one of them. She's SES. Now, their pay grade is G15. They get paid more than the President of the United States of America. They get bonuses. This is to attract them from the cities, from the elites. So I'll suggest anyone who wants to understand world politics, look up the SES and what their agenda is and who they're controlled by. And that's why Trump said he wanted to drain the swamp. That's right. Why Trump is, and that's why he cannot get rid of any of these people. He struggled with his attempt. Now, what happened? Now, Sandberg, she's CEO of Facebook. What's happened is we're all looking at Facebook now and saying it needs to be controlled. Fake news needs to be controlled. Who's going to control it? They are. Control what we see, what we say, when we hear it, when we don't hear it. I mean, talk about fake news. Fake news is fake news. They used to be called urban. People talk about rubbish all day long. It's what they do. Are we supposed to have an agenda that we have to look at every day and not question anything, anytime, and only see what we are told we should see? I mean, we've been walking into this for 10 years, ever since Facebook was launched. But like I said, most people don't even know that SES exists out there. But if you look at them, everything's connected. And that's where the way we're headed. We're heading to a one-world government. And it's all about business, finance, kicking up to these elites. And there they are, all 8,000 of them. You barely find their names. You won't find what they get paid. You won't find what their bonuses are. They can never get sacked. But considering that Obama's just 2 miles away from the headquarters of most of them, and 70% of them is picked, and also 75% of them who have been picked run the nuclear energy program.
Peter, we're taking a lot of things coming in here, and I've got other callers on the line.
Okay.
But thanks for your calls in there. We'll look out for the SES. Thank you for calling. Good evening. Good morning, caller. Excuse me. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. Thank you so much for holding. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Costablanca.
Good morning, Kate.
Morning. Ignoring not because what he said is irrelevant, the last caller wanted to go back to something that Nathan was talking about, because he's widened the area of concern. Of course, there's the totally unedited, the issue of the unedited content of Facebook, etc. But there are a very large number of problems in having to control that. But the thing that has brought the issue of Facebook, etc., to the news is not the one of controlling the content. It's controlling what uses the content has been made of, i.e., political use has been made for information that should, I think, not have been made available. It was Facebook, I think, at one of the stages, agreed to for the information about 5,000, 5 million, whatever, people, on the basis it was independent academic research, and it asked for certain kind of controls, which I think were done. We're limited. Then, and I think that Facebook didn't know about this stage, the people who were doing that then went to a further stage and sold the material to a third party. So the kind of independent academic research had been ignored as it moved through different stages. And it's that area where it seems to me it's relatively easy to control. You get either the industry, such as it is, controls itself, or governments control how the use of the unedited content.
Thank you for the call in there. Nathan, do you want to come back on some of the points that we've gone through in the last 5 minutes?
Well, she's right as far as this case with Cambridge Analytical and so on. And it is, they got the use, but how you then, I mean, Facebook gave allowed that information to go to someone who I assume had to convince someone at Facebook that they were a legitimate doing, whatever research they were doing that everyone decided was worthwhile. I don't know. Is it then Facebook's problem to deal with that as it goes down the line. Maybe it is, maybe it's not, but it's the same thing. It's, do you trust anyone? And if you don't trust them, you make the regulations, and all right, that Facebook, you know, is not allowed to share any of its information, or anyone else is allowed to share information. Again, in a lot of ways, a lot of us would be happier if everybody didn't give out and sell our personal information that they have collected, you know, to other people who then, you know, send us emails, make phone calls to us, trying to sell us everything in the world. So yes, that is a data information protection is a somewhat different idea, but it is still in this realm of who is in control of what.
And we've got another caller on the line. Good morning, caller. Laurie, what's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE.
Hi, Charles. It's Bertha again.
Oh, yes, Bertha.
Hi. Just a quick quote from Hussein Ababa to thousands of people. He said, ordinary men and women are too small-minded to govern their own affairs. Order and progress can only come when individuals surrender to an all-powerful sovereign. And I think the Facebook, along with the media, the mind control, the propaganda, I think it's all part and parcel of the New World Order taking control.
Thank you for your call in there.
This is Your Voice in Spain. Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Into the last half an hour of Viewpoint Talk Radio Europe's live and lively show of discussion of current affairs with a panel of invited guests joined by Roslyn Scott Gibb and Nathan Thomas. Looking at some emails on studio@tre.radio. Christine has sent an email saying, please pass us around your parties, your panel. There was a good TV interview, maybe Channel 4 last year, in Texas, undercover with the female and completely proud of the operation. A Trump employee who managed Alamo operation, which was the office which had Facebook, Google et al. Working in the same room. They were financed by the Trump election supporters, Breitbart and others, as they targeted each state by state, all known for a year. Channel 4 has a lot of info involving the evidence. Also, the Alamo Trump campaign team took data about millions of Facebook users without their knowledge. Also, Sean has been in. Giles. Hi, Giles. Usual mass media spin. Your panel at best only partially get it. If Trump can be smeared, the mass media will do it. Even if the Cambridge Analytica story is true, and that would need independent investigation, which sadly the mass media are these days incapable of, the much bigger truth is the manipulation perpetrated by Google, Facebook, and Twitter. Sorry, that was Rosalind in the background. As the whistleblower Edward Snowden said on Saturday, Facebook is a mass surveillance organization posting to social media. Interesting point. Important to understand that independent, well-researched citizen journalism is beginning to crush the untruths of mass media, e.g. investigative reporter Jake Morfanofius, joined the Sarah Westall program to discuss the facts of the Las Vegas shooting after spending time on the ground in Las Vegas. His show received more views than all mass media channels combined, as reported by the Wall Street Journal and USA Today. To their credit, his popularity has resulted in a major crackdown on his channel and personal attacks on him and his family. Interesting. Citizen journalism beginning to crush the untruths of mass media. I suppose with mobile phones and who can take photographs, record audio and tweet, we are all, if we like, our own news outlets to see what we can see on the ground. 952-784-4000, the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email, Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official. I want to move away from the Facebook situation. I'm sure we'll come back to that on another program. But there have been developments across the pond in the United States with the firing of some senior figures in the Trump administration and the government agencies in the US. 952-784-4000, the phone number. Nathan, your take on what has happened in the past 10 days.
I certainly can't explain it any better than anyone else can explain it. It's taken on a life of its own. What it appears to be is is Trump is doing his version of what he said, draining the swamp. But the people he's draining are very often, at this point, the people he has brought in and apparently decided after a year or however long any of them have been with him that they are not the people he wants. And he is changing his staff, it seems, to a great degree. And I mean, I'm talking about everything from, you know, people who are working in the White House to cabinet positions to the whole thing. What a fear is that he is going to bring in a bunch of yes men or yes women who are going to agree with whatever Donald Trump says and wants, which some people would say is a good thing, and other people, of course, will disagree with that. But changes are happening, certainly, fairly rapidly. I mean, you wake up every morning and it's kind of who was fired last night, because a lot of these people leaving, you know, it's done very quickly, and it's done, you know, late on a Friday night, which, as far as keeping things in the public eye, that's designed, although it doesn't seem to work anymore, because between mass media and internet and everything else, I mean, nothing is secret for very long, but traditionally things are done that way because, you know, it is out of the news cycle if it's late on a Friday night. But, you know, it's done that way, and, you know, this is what the U.S. is dealing with at this point. And whether you agree with Trump and what he wants to do or not, I mean, it is a rather chaotic way of moving through running a country the size and breadth of the United States. I mean, to fire his Secretary of State just as he is talking about these major meetings with North Korea and so on, people question, you know, is he going to be able to bring in anybody who can really help with that, or is it just going to be more confusion?
Rosalind, your thoughts on what we're seeing over in the States at the moment?
Well, I mean, it's bad enough that he is getting rid of so many people at such a very delicate time in internationally, what's going on in so many countries. But it's also the way he's doing it that is just despicable, really. There's absolutely no excuse for it. And so that the media are just ready for who's going to go next. And it does appear that's what he wants now. He's gaining after 14 or 15 months or 16 months in power. He's gaining confidence, which is quite frightening, because he was worrying enough before he gained confidence, but now he does pretty well want yes men.
I mean, this is one of the things is the fact of the firing of McCabe as well. At the FBI 2 days before he was due to retire. What were your thoughts on his dealing with the FBI? I mean, he seems to be on a collision course, or he's dealing aggressively, shall we say, with the government agencies.
He certainly is, and I mean, this is something I don't think anyone has ever seen before, where a president has actually gone after different agencies. In this case, probably number one is the FBI, where Trump directly or indirectly has accused the leaders of the FBI and the FBI as a whole of basically working against him and against America's interests. And it's this infighting within the government itself. The firing of Abe was, I mean, he's talked about this for a long time, and I think I read a report that said 90 days ago he was talking about getting this done before McCabe had the chance to retire. Now, again, it got right down to the wire, and then Trump said he didn't do it, that it was done by the investigating agency that he had been he had not done as he should as far as leaking information and so on as director of the FBI. And so that was the reason he was fired. It had nothing to do with Trump's being just against the FBI and against him for things he has said. People have different opinions of whether this is a reasonable answer and a reasonable way of doing things. Many people say no. Other people say, well, we have to see why, you know, did he really do some of these things that he is being accused of?
Well, the other point of view is that Trump definitely told Jeff Sessions to fire him and fire him before he would get his, so he would not get his pension. But really, the point that's come across is that the aim is to discredit McCabe, because McCabe has kept diaries and records of all his meetings with Trump, and Trump is getting increasingly nervous of what Mueller has given Trump a list of the issues he wants to discuss with him. And Trump is getting more and more nervous because it's talking about his personal finance, which, of course, has a lot to do with his position because it's to do with Russia and many other things as well. And so the point that's come across is that it's to discredit McCabe, so that nobody will listen to him.
Right then, as I thought, we're going to get a couple of viewpoints on this particular subject. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Giles, Peter again.
Yes, Peter.
As I said before,
yeah,
this is Trump attempting to drain this so-called swamp. These 7,000 elites that he's trying to get rid of. Every time, even when he elects one, then he finds out they're connected, then he has to get rid of them. He's fighting maybe not a losing battle, but a very, very tough battle that the man is up against. If you take note of the people the ones around him that seem to be in the background that he's surrounding himself with, you've got James Mattis, James McMaster, Mike Riles, Randolph Allies, all these people are either retired U.S. Marine Corps generals or serving U.S. Marine Corps generals. People, at the beginning, they said that he was surrounding himself with military people. Well, the military are about protecting America. The elites are about selling America out. So there is a war going on between these elites, most definitely. And Trump could go down as the greatest guy ever if he brings this lot down, brings them to his knees. Now, anyone who wants to understand world politics must look up these people with the SEC. And you know, as far as Rosa said about discrediting this, but they're all part of it. Every one of them are connected. All of them are connected. Look at their histories. Look what they've done, who they're connected with, who they're married to, what businesses they're into, how much money they've made, where it's passed to. It is all connected. It's not hard to join the dots. And everything is in the public domain. Don't believe what you're told ever. Check it. Look at it. There's hundreds of different versions out there, but as much of the stuff out there is in the public domain that are actual documents, and you can make the links if you're prepared to put the effort in, or some people will do it for you if you find out the right people to follow. But he is definitely trying to drain this swamp, and it's proven to be far more difficult than ever before. And the thing is the longer this Mueller investigation goes on, if he doesn't sack him leading up to it, 2 years' time, we have a general election coming, just over 2 years, it all starts 2 years out. America could be facing a constitutional nightmare, a crisis, if some of these people are charged. If some of the charges that are rumored to be out there are true, many, many very elite people are either going to go to prison, they're going to tumble, it's going to topple governments. And there are laws that Obama put into place that a president could turn around and say, do you know what, we're not having an election because it's not safe to have one at the moment. You talk about leaders leading countries that are unelected. You know, we're moving to a very, very dangerous area. And I think America, over the next 2 years, are heading towards a real crisis. I really do. Because if you think this election leading up to this election was a farce, this one coming up is not going to be a farce, but it's certainly going to play out the two areas. And I think the only thing that's saving Trump from not being assassinated is the fact that he does have the military on his side. That's why, if you notice when he brings up these executive orders, as he did in December, when he went after all these elites, when he named all these Russian oligarchs and these despotic leaders, he shut down these elites' money overnight. And the only reason he could do it was because he got the military behind him. Otherwise, he would be gone. But the military is watching his back, and people really don't understand what's going on. So I'll leave you with that.
Peter, thank you very much. I was looking forward to that call. 952-784-4000, the phone number, studio@tre.radio, the email, and the Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Live and lively into the last 15 minutes of the show. Quick email on what the, we're speaking with Trump staff changes. And I've just had an update on that. Thank you, Sean. Let me just click on that. Trump remains a political genius. Tillerson is a globalist who should never have been hired. McCabe was not a Trump appointee. McCabe is deeply corrupt and will be indicted along with Comey and many others, eventually including the evil Clinton's crime syndicate and Obama, including many others who've worked for Obama, including Loretta Lynch, Clapper and Brennan, Page and Strug. I'm not aware of those last two. Trump is beginning to win decisively. He was asked to serve by elite military intelligence to save the Republic. I think it's a coincidence that Eric Schmidt of Google, the day after the December 21st executive order, that that's long been game over for North Korea. Ross isn't correct. Peter is absolutely right. It's not the opinion of TRE, and we wish to retract the remark and apologise for it, Ross. There you go. Right then, let's move on from those comments. Please, let's try and not keep it unpersonal. Brexit has been in the news. In fact, it is absolutely in the news today. After the latest round of talks, business hails breakthrough transition deal over Brexit is on the front page of the Times. Also on the eye, Britain takes a big step towards a Brexit deal. UK and Brussels agree transition agreement that eases withdrawal from European Union and avoids cliff edge exit, their words. Davis says the UK can now begin trade talks as soon as possible. The government accused of massive sellout of Scots fishing industry and future Irish border still remains unsolved. Fishermen betrayed by May's Brexit deal. Backlash at transition agreement that gives EU control of UK waters until the end of 2020. So some progress perhaps in the Brexit deals.
Well, some are winning, some are losing. And, you know, in this case, in this latest round, or at least what we are seeing in public, is fishermen are losing. And I suppose other people are winning. And this is what it's going to be from here until Brexit finally, if ever, actually comes to pass. We're learning more and more details, not a tremendous amount, but it is a negotiation. Some things are being settled. And of course, there are always people who are not happy with the settlement that has been reached.
Ross, your thought on where we are?
There's nothing definite yet. I mean, we're at the beginning of the beginning. First of all, what has been discussed has to be confirmed at the end of this week. But nothing is settled. A big issue is Ireland, and that's definitely not settled yet. So it's just the beginning of the beginning. It's not enough. Other opinions have said this where we are now, we should have been at least 6 months ago.
Well, Britain and the EU said that they're close to a comprehensive deal on how the UK would leave the European Union, but an agreement has been reached on most areas covering the transition period before Brexit is complete. This is described by both negotiators Davis and Barnier as a decisive step, but some issues remain unsolved. And obviously, one of the big ones is the Irish border. And Davis says that they hope they're going to make progress on that in the next round.
Well, I mean, that is one of those things that I suppose in the end could be not quite a make-or-break deal, because I think the UK is going to get out of the EU one way or another, but this is one of those issues that nobody knows what to do with it. And as they were talking about on the news this morning, you have another border that is going to face a lot of the same problems, and that's the one, border with Gibraltar. Which, again, that is at this point a physical border. There's no question about that. I mean, you people now do go through it you know, with passports and so on like that. But that is as much a Schengen situation as anything else. But yes, that is going to have to be resolved too. And, you know, but the Irish border is at this point, there basically is none, from what it sounds, other than, I mean, yes, we know where the line is, but every people and goods go back and forth without a problem. And I don't understand how the EU and how Schengen can allow that to continue after the UK is no longer a part of, they've never been part of Schengen, but part of the EU. I don't understand how this is a possible resolution to the situation. Oh, just let everything go through there, no matter what deals we have. Because once the UK starts doing these trade deals with other countries, you will have tariffs that apply to the EU, or I'm sorry, that apply to the UK and not to the EU. But once they get into the UK, if the Irish border is open, how do you prevent those things from going back and forth?
There have been talks about electronic borders. There have been talks about that, you know, using technology, although that presents its own set of problems, I would have thought.
Well, sure it does. And technology is a wonderful thing, but technology is certainly not perfect. And it's not just technology. It's all the paperwork and all of the inspections. I mean, you know, you're talking about, you know, truckloads of something or other, and technology can maybe tell you what's in it or not, but where it came from and why it's going across the border and so on, this has all got to be explained in paperwork, and somebody's got to be there watching the technology. I mean, technology is, you know, it's very easy to say, oh, we'll do it, you know, technically, and it'll all be cameras and stuff like this, but again, that hardly seems like a reasonable answer to what is a national and really not only a border between Ireland and Northern Ireland, but between the European Union and the non-European Union. It just doesn't seem like it's something that can be worked out amicably without having a border.
And what we were also looking at was looking at something that has enraged the hard Brexit, hard Brexiteers, is the fact that we're now going to look like we're going to have a 21 month transition period from the day of the Brexit when we pull out, so that businesses and can to soften the blow to businesses, which is something which has enraged the Brexiteers. They're saying they're selling out.
Also, the deadline has gone forward by 4 months. It's now December instead of March 2019, is it?
Did we see that?
Said the end of the transition period is going to be midnight December 31st of, I don't even remember what year, 2020?
2020, yeah, they haven't moved it forward. This is the transition period they're looking at. From things that, no, we're still looking
Brexit
at... Brexit
still happens in March of 2019, or 2019. The transition period...
End in December of 2019.
Transition is longer than that.
2020. Yes.
2020 is the transition period,
Midnight 2020.
That's transition.
But still, I mean, what that's going to mean is, you know, I don't know that they're going to have a firm, totally signed, sealed, and delivered agreement by the date that they are all talking about. I don't know whether the transition period will turn into, you know, more of a negotiating period or not, but it is going to be very difficult, and I think the border issue is certainly one that is going to be very, very difficult to resolve, although for most people in the UK, even businesses, I mean, it's not, you know, going to be, you know, that big a deal for most people. Most people aren't sending stuff across borders and so on.
It's important to the Irish. And the same with Gibraltar. It's important to the Gibraltarians.
And we've got a caller on the line, 952-78-4000. Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Cave, sorry. Costa Blanca News. Sorry, Costa Blanca.
Indeed, Kate. Roving reporter.
Right. What I want to do is just flag up. Nathan surprised me with one comment, which was to say he thought there would be some kind of Brexit. That is looking increasingly unlikely, as every scenario that comes up is less good for Britain than the one we've got. We are not a vassal state at the moment. We have a decision-making part of the EU, and we would lose that by Norway or Canada or whatever other models there are. I don't know that people who voted for Gate leaving a year and a half ago would now vote that way, and there needs to be a second referendum, at least, or a general election, whichever is the easiest.
A second referendum, Nathan.
No, it's talked about all the time. Let's have a second election in the United States. Would Donald Trump get elected if people voted today? Well, you can do that over and over again in any situation, but for the most part, once a decision is made, it's made.
We've got another caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. It's Alan in Marbella.
Good morning.
Just a couple of quick points. One, what happens if they don't get an agreement on the Brexit deal? Because they've already extended the negotiation period. Do they just keep adjusting it and extending it? And the other point, this talk about another referendum. Now, I'm a Remainer. I voted to remain, obviously, because I live in Spain. But I don't think there should ever be a second referendum, because if it comes up as, yes, we're going to remain, do the Brexiteers say, no, hang on, best of three, please. Can't just do it like that. If you just keep going on forever.
We could do extra time and gold and gold. What about that?
Yeah, exactly. Something like the penalty shootout. Theresa May versus whoever. it's a ridiculous scenario to say there should be another referendum, because that can go, as Nathan said, that can just go on forever. Best of three, best of five, or what have you. But, again, what happens if they don't reach a negotiated settlement by midnight in 2020 or whatever the date is?
Well, I mean, this is one of the things. I think they've agreed that 75% of the deal is currently in place. So they say they're making progress, and I think they don't think they're really imagining or dealing with that scenario.
Well, there seems to be, because there's this big sticking point on the border with Northern Ireland. Gibraltar, Spain has got this extra veto somehow, and I don't quite understand how they've got the extra vote, because it's anti-EU policy anyway. There seems to be a lot of sticky points. It's unsolvable.
Thanks for your call in there. We'll see if we can deal with those. But thank you for your call in. 952-784-4000, the phone number, studio@tre.radio, the email, the Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. Rosalind.
Well, just to remind everybody, I hate me even more for this, but the referendum is not like an election, and it was never, ever meant to be conclusive.
So we can still, yes, thank you for that, Warren. Throwing that with 54 seconds of the show still to go. There's nothing like putting a firework in right at the end. Oh, thank you for that. I was going to ask him what makes you happy, but I've just found out, because causing me to roll my eyes and put my head against the desk is pretty much there. I think the situation is they're still talking and they are still doing deals, and they will continue to do that for the next 2 years.
Well, at least up until March of 2019. I don't know. I think they have to have a signed deal by then, because you can't have a transition period by most understandings when you're still changing everything. What will happen is they will just at some point stop, and things that haven't been decided will remain undecided, and we don't know what it'll be.
We don't know what it'll do. What we do know, however, is that we are almost out of time. It's been my pleasure and my privilege to bring you this viewpoint. My thanks to my guests, Ross and Scott Gibb.
What makes me happy? Coming on Viewpoint with you, Giles.
Oh, Flash, we will get you everywhere. Thank you, Rosalind, and the always happy Nathan Thomas.
Always, always.
This show will be repeated at 6 o'clock. Steve Ritson, the happy Steve Ritson, is up next.
The view. views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.